This is Case Closed, crime stories from the golden age of radio. Welcome back to Case Closed. Thanks for joining me this week. Our hour of old-time radio crime begins with Mr. District Attorney this week. We'll hear the case of the Staircase Killer, their episode from October 19th, 1952. After that, it's a crime, Mr. Collins, with their November 11th, 1957 episode titled The Lost Film.
Mr. District Attorney, starring David Bryan. Mr. District Attorney, champion of the people, defender of truth, guardian of our fundamental rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
And it shall be my duty as district attorney not only to prosecute to the limit of the law all persons accused of crimes perpetrated within this county, but to defend with equal vigor the rights and privileges of all its citizens. This is David Bryan. In a moment, we'll bring you another case from the files of Mr. District Attorney. But first, a word from our sponsor.
And now, here is our star, David Bryan, as Paul Garrett, Mr. District Attorney.
Crime very often takes the customary trapping, with old performers working in familiar ways, using methods of operations that we already know about and can use in identifying the culprit and running him down. But newcomers are always moving in, mostly young people foolish enough to believe that crime is the quick way to easy money. Newcomers full of fresh ideas on how to get away with it, making it tough on your law enforcement officers, creating new patterns and new problems, such as you will hear about in the case that follows.
Better slow down. Just a few more houses now. Okay, next driveway. Kill it.
What time you got?
11 o'clock on the nose.
The plane will be over in a few seconds. Let's go.
On the lawn, Egan. On the lawn. Got the adhesive tape ready?
Right here.
Flashlight.
In my pocket. You get the plane?
Yeah, but take it easy up these steps.
Where do you want the tape?
Corner of the glass, right over the lock.
Right.
Hurry up, you're taking the plane.
I am hurrying. There it is.
When you were escaped, it's as if you were dead, Tom. You're not going to rob us.
I said stay out of the way. Hey, sir. Let's get out of here.
Well, Chief, there goes another body to the morgue. Two kids are without a mother.
Did the medical examiner say the fall was the cause of death, Harrington?
Yeah, he's pretty sure. For my money, it was downright murder. But Lieutenant Padway figures we might have trouble tying it in with the robbery.
How about the husband? Did he hear anything?
Yeah, he didn't know a thing about it till the little boy's crying woke him up.
How old are the children?
Boy is 9, little girl is 3.
Yeah, things like these really get you.
You know, what I can't figure is how these crooks can break a window without waking up the whole block. I'd hate to try to get away with it.
How about a valuation of the loss?
Not much. Between $400 and $500.
Doesn't make much sense, does it? A woman loses her life because of a few hundred dollars. Padway isn't around, is he?
No. No, he left before you got here.
Check with him, will you, Harrington? Have him fill you in on any housebreakers working in this area. I'll see you later at the office.
Hi, babe. What's good for lunch?
What difference does it make? You'll still order a hamburger and french fries.
Ain't you the one? Just for that, I'll order a hot dog.
Don't pay any attention to him, Sally.
Don't worry. Anyway, this is a high-class drive-in. We don't serve hot dogs. How'd it go last night?
Not bad. We got some nice stuff.
Come on around to my side, babe. I'll show you something.
Well?
Sometimes you talk too much, you can...
What do you mean? She's your girl, ain't she?
You get any wristwatches?
Better get back to work, Sally. The carny man's giving you the cold eye.
Why don't you relax, Myers? Give it a break. Here, babe, get a load of this wine.
Hey, that's swell.
Cut it on.
Cut it out, Egan. She's going to want to keep it.
I sure am. This watch and me were made for each other.
It's yours, babe.
Like fat it is. Now, listen, Egan. We agreed to keep the stuff in freeze for 3 months till the heat's off. If you think I'm changing my mind about that, you're crazy.
She's your girl, ain't she? Is your own girl going to get us into trouble?
Somebody could see the watch on her. Cops are smart. Give them one little lead and they move in on you.
Maybe you ought to go to work on this guy. If you were my girl...
Knock it off, Egan. Or you and me ain't going to get along.
Okay, okay. I'm sorry, babe, but the watch is half there. You can see how it is.
I can see, all right. You turn into a real miser.
I told you how it was with this, Sally. You knew all along. And with this mouth, if Stoop hadn't said anything, you wouldn't even be thinking about the watch. Oh, it's not so great anyway. Give me a few more weeks, baby, and I'll give you something that really shines.
I got a better idea than that.
What?
Let me go with you on the next job.
What are you talking about?
I mean it. I could be a real help to you boys. I want to make some real money, too. I'm sick of working in this hamburger roundhouse.
Oh, forget it. Just forget it.
I think it might be a good idea, Myers.
You think? You never think at all. That's the trouble. She's not coming with us. And I don't want to talk about it anymore. Bring me a hamburger, Sally. Well done. With fries and coffee.
You heard the man, babe.
Yeah. I heard him.
Hi, Miss Miller. Chief in his office?
Yes, he just came in.
Hello, Harrington. What did you find out?
Well, two or three different hoods have been breaking and entering around the city, but not with the same M.O. as last night's job.
Now, it looks as though we're dealing with newcomers.
Yeah, and that can be tough. Means no chance of getting a rundown on their identification.
Probably young ones, Harrington.
Yeah, the crazy kind. Full of phony ideas about easy money, cleaning up in a hurry.
He can be the most dangerous kind, too. Carrying weapons for the first time.
Yeah. Jumpy and ready to kill without giving it a thought.
Did you get a chance to check around the neighborhood again?
Well, I talked to the folks who live on both sides of the house. One of them was he's an old man who doesn't sleep very well. Says he'd had a car stop out in front of his place about the time this must have happened.
Did he investigate?
No. He says he didn't pay much attention. But he told me one thing that could be important. He said the dead woman was like him. She wasn't a good sleeper. So maybe she heard these crooks and got up to see what was going on.
Which means she probably didn't fall down those stairs by accident.
Yeah, that's the way I figured. Oh, and I found out something else, too.
What's that?
I checked through that neighborhood and ran into a fellow who thinks he saw the crooks. He stepped down on his porch to get a breath of air and noticed a couple of men walking up the street across from him. Then he got busy watching a big airliner go over.
You heard one of those planes this morning. They make a lot of noise.
Yeah. You had a yell at me, and I was standing right next to you. Drowns out everything.
In the crash of breaking glass.
Huh?
That could be the M.O. of this new team, Harrington. They're using the sound of those planes to cover the noise they make when they break into a place.
I'll be a son of a gun. Chief, I'll bet you're right.
That woman was probably a very light sleeper and happened to hear them after they got in.
I got a report from the coroner's office on that woman, Mr. Garrett. I just finished typing it up as Harrington came in here.
Thanks, Miss Miller. Listen to this, Harrington. Huh? Bruise under left eye of victim incurred before death. Suggests she may have been struck and knocked downstairs instead of falling.
That would make a murder, Chief.
Certainly would. Miss Miller.
Yes, Mr. Garrett.
Call the airport, find out the exact time each airliner takes off.
Yes, sir. I think I've got that number right here on the card.
You got a plan, Chief?
I've got a plan.
Hey, what are you doing here? I thought you and Myers were going out on a job tonight.
We are. I'm picking him up in 15 minutes.
What are you doing here, then?
Thought maybe you still wanted to come on.
I do. But you heard what Myers said.
So Myers don't like it, so what? You show up with me, what can you do about it?
Gosh, I don't know, Ethan.
What's the matter, you scared? I'll take good care of you, babe.
I bet you will at that, Ethan.
Sure I will. You want to come along or not?
I'm working the middle shift. I'm due to be off in a few minutes anyway. Wait a second, I'll get my coat.
About time you got here. I've been... Wait a second. What is this?
Simple, Myers. A kid wants to come along. I figure she can be a help, so I let her.
I don't want her in on it. I told you that.
Why? Just tell me why.
I told you already a dozen times.
You said yourself we could use a lookout.
Not her.
Oh, come on, Myers. Let me go along.
Shut up and get out of that car.
Look, Myers, you're wasting your breath. She's going with us.
Sally, are you going to get out of that car or do I yank you out?
You stay right here, babe.
I said she gets out and I mean...
Ow! Let go, you big moose!
Get your paws off of her, Myers.
She's staying here.
And you've been begging for something, and here's where you
get it. Why, you...
Oh, what a punch. He's out cold.
Jim is a 10-watt bulb. Get back in the car, babe.
What about Myers?
You care?
Frankly, no.
Let him lay there, then. You afraid of cops, babe?
What a question.
Suppose you had a gun and a cop tried to put the pinch on you. What would you do?
What do you think?
All right, kid.
Where are we going?
We're going to take care of that job we got planned. You and me.
This is David Bryan. Before we continue with Mr. District Attorney in the case of the staircase killer, here's an important message I'd like you to hear. And now back to David Bryan, starring as Paul Garrett, Mr. District Attorney. The home had been broken into and robbed, with the crooks doing their work while the family slept. We figured that they had been able to do this under cover of sound from an airliner that passed overhead at the same time every night. The take hadn't amounted to very much, between $400 or $500 worth of jewelry. But the wife and mother of the house was dead of a broken neck. And indications were that she had lost her life by being knocked down her own staircase. Investigation had disclosed that the thieves were newcomers to the profession of burglary. It was probable that they would strike again, so Harrington and I were cruising the neighborhood waiting for them.
What time is it now, Chief?
10:45.
15 minutes before that plane takes off.
Yeah. Well, if my hunch is right, we know when. I wish we knew where.
This isn't such a big neighborhood, and we know it's a couple of guys.
Turn the next corner, Harrington.
Oh, I've turned so many corners, I'm beginning to feel dizzy. The worst of it is they all look alike.
You'll just have to keep cruising.
almost there, Egan?
Almost there. You getting eager?
I sure am. This is living.
You're all right, babe. You're all right.
You getting close?
Yeah, this is the block.
Not bad. There ought to be some good stuff on a street like this.
Sure, we'll do all right.
This one?
No, it's 5 or 6 places back, but I'll walk. No sense in stopping right in front of it, John.
Okay, let's go.
I'll go. You're staying in the car.
Oh, come on, Egan.
Nothing doing. There's people in that house. If they spot me, I want you to have this car ready to move when I come out. One more thing, babe. If a prowl car comes by and gets nosy, save that toughness of yours. Tell him the battery's down. Ask him to give you a push.
Okay, Egan. Bring me back something nice.
Special order, babe. Special order.
How many more minutes for the plane, Chief?
Just a couple now. Turn here.
How about that makes 50 corners I've taken? You know, driving like this gets on my nerves.
Would you rather do it on foot?
With my dogs? I'd rather do it on my hands.
Hold it, Harrington.
What's the matter?
Back up a little.
I don't get what it is you... Oh, I see.
Just thought I'd check. Waiting for someone, miss?
Man of the hour. I've been waiting for you, mister.
You what?
You couldn't have come along at a better time. My battery is just giving its last dying kick. I need a push.
I see. You live around here?
No, I was just driving by, and some creek came barreling out of a driveway right in front of me. I had to stop so fast I stalled this thing. And I tried to start it with the lights on. Clunk.
Well, I guess we can get you going.
Thanks, mister.
Battery's dead. Back up a little and we'll give her a push.
Hey, listen.
The plane.
Yeah. Looks like we wasted our time. If those guys are waiting tonight, it must be on some other street. Morning, Chief.
Morning, Harrington.
I guess you read the papers, too.
Yes, another fancy job of burglary. And on the same street where we pushed that girl's car.
Yeah, nobody got hurt this time. But I figure I goofed anyway. Well, I was so busy thinking about two men that I didn't check her license plates.
We haven't lost her, Harrington. She had on a waitress's uniform under her coat. Pale green with a yellow collar and trim.
Hey, that's a good lead.
I just hope it pays off. Make a check of the whole area. Take in every cafe, drive-in, and hamburger stand till you find out where they use that color combination.
Okay, Chief, I'll get on it right away.
Oh, it's you.
Are you going to ask me in?
Come in. All right, what do you want?
I want to talk to you.
Better make it short. I got to go to work.
Work? What are you talking about?
I'm going back to the plant.
Oh, listen, Myers, makes sense. You hate that place and you know it. You and me can still pull together.
I don't think so, Egan.
What is it, the dame? If I had a girl who left me lying on the sidewalk, I'd be glad to lose her.
I already told myself that.
So you find yourself another one. The town's full of dames.
What about you and Sally?
What about us? Kid's a real good lookout. She brushed off a prowl car while I was loading up last night.
You went through with the job?
Sure. We could have done a lot better if you'd been with us. How about latching on again? You get your cut of what we got last night.
Well,
come on, Myers. We figured the next job for our biggest, remember?
Yeah, I remember.
Here, hand me that phone.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to call the plant and tell them you've changed your mind.
Do you think it's about time we called it a day, Miss Miller? It's after 5 o'clock.
I guess so, Mr. Garrett. You look a little tired. I hope you get some rest tonight.
I've been expecting to hear from Harrington, but I guess he's not going to call in. I was hoping he'd be able to locate that girl. But...
District Attorney's office.
Hello, Miss Miller. Is the chief gone yet?
No, he's right here, Harrington. Hold on.
Hello, Harrington. Where are you?
Hello, Chief. I'm in a drugstore on the corner of Bentley Street and Lake Avenue. I found out where the girl works.
Good.
It's Fat Joe's Drive-In right across the street.
Is the girl there?
Well, it's kind of fouled up. The girls have been swapping shifts with each other. She's supposed to come on at 8 and work till midnight. Do you want me to question her?
Well, let's save that for a while, Harrington. Just hang around. I'll join you there later.
Well, there goes your good night's rest.
Harrington's rest, too. We'd like to crack this case if we can. It might save other people from dying violently. You ready to leave?
Yes, sir.
Hi, Chief.
You must be tired.
Well, it ain't exactly been a short day.
You're going to have to take some time off.
That ought to go for you, too. See the girl?
Seems to be working like a beaver.
Yeah. She certainly doesn't act like a doll with a load of stolen loot.
Could be that we're wasting our time, Harrington.
Hey, look. Behind us. Is that the car we pushed last night?
That's it, what? Two men in it, huh?
Yeah. You think we should talk to them?
Well, let's wait. And I'd better move off to one side so she doesn't see us. Get in, Harrington.
I've been wondering if you'd come in tonight.
See who I got with me?
I see. How are you, Myers?
I'm okay.
Listen, babe, we're going through with the job tonight after all. Me and Myers. You want to make it or not?
Sure I want to make it. Wait a second, I'll tell the boss. The heck with the boss. He'll only bawl me out anyway.
Let's go.
Real nifty.
You sure there's nobody home here, Egan?
I'm positive. That's why I figured we didn't need the babe for a lookout. The three of us can get all the more loot.
Okay. Where do we start?
Upstairs. That's where they always keep the bangles, baubles, and beads. Come on.
Pretty sure themselves, aren't they? Took the girl into the house with them.
They must have known there'd be no one at home. With that many of them, we better put a ring around the place, Harrington.
Good idea. I'll hit the talk box for some help. Car 36 calling control. Car 36 calling control. Car 36 calling control.
Why don't you get the phone, Myers?
You crazy or something? You went for that and we could be in trouble.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Oh, it's better.
Relax, babe. With this load of loot, you can have a lot of fun for a long time.
I say we get out of here.
Okay, by me. We got everything but the kitchen sink.
Going somewhere?
Think you got him, Egan?
I don't know. I hope so, but I don't know.
You're all through in there. We've got the place to run it. That didn't do any more for you than the last one. Better come on with your hands up.
Myers, take a look outside.
He's right, Egan. We're finished.
Not me. I'm coming through, coppers!
That's all for you, pal. You're all washed up.
That's better. Just get your face to the wall. And you too. Line up there with him.
I said you weren't playing that smart, Egan. I told you.
I wasn't in on all these things, mister. Honest.
He's telling the truth, mister. She wasn't in on the first one.
You mean when you killed that woman by knocking her down the stairs?
I wasn't the one who did that. It was...
Shut your face, Myers.
It'll all come out anyway, Egan, and I didn't do it. You know that.
Killed somebody. Did they kill somebody?
Don't you ever read the papers, miss?
But sometimes I read
them. But you've been too busy lately, is that it? Well, you'd better read them for the next couple of days. You'll find out what kind of trouble you're in. Let's get these people outside, Harrington. This is David Bryan. I hope you enjoy this case from the files of Mr. District Attorney. I'll be back in just a moment after this message from our sponsor.
Now, here is the star of Mr. District Attorney, David Bryan, with a word about the program you have just heard.
This was a case that made the headlines. The two men we called Egan and Myers were tried and convicted of first-degree murder. Sally, the drive-in waitress, is now serving a sentence for burglary. And now this is David Bryan inviting you to join us when we present our next case based on the facts of crime from the file of Mr. District Attorney.
Mr. District Attorney was originated by Philip H. Lord.
It surely is. After all, if your husband was a famous private detective, wouldn't you expect him to take a case where you were the client? Yes, it's Gail Collins here. I'll be back in a moment to set the stage for our puzzling crime.
It's a crime, Mr. Collins. You know, you've hit on something I've always wanted to know, Mrs. Collins. Does the wife of a private detective ever have need of her husband's professional services?
Jack, the kind of crazy things that happen to Greg and me, I always seem to need him. For instance, you take New York. There's a city with something like 10 million people. Greg and I had gone there for a holiday to see the shows and such. Just two people in 10 million. Well, a day or two before we were due to go home, I went downtown to do a little shopping. I was getting on down towards Fifth Avenue, and I guess I must have been daydreaming, because the next thing I knew, I'd started to cross the street, and there was a great big policeman bawling me out at the top of his voice.
Hey, lady! Hey, lady!
Who? Me?
I know you probably can't read or anything, so that's why we put those pretty colored lights up there for you.
Lights? Oh, lies.
What do you think that red is? A new shade of lipstick? Now get back on the curb before you get killed.
Oh, I'm sorry I didn't notice the lies.
Graphic, thank you. The bottom of a tar. Okay, you guys, get moving.
Well, you can imagine how I felt in front of all those people. I stood there and burned. And I guess that's why I can't tell you exactly what happened next. All I know is the heavy truck started to roar across the intersection. I turned my head away from the fumes. There was a movement in the crowd beside me, and suddenly...
Look out, you fool! You'll be under that truck!
It happened in a second. One minute it was a street scene. The next it was a tragedy. A man dead. Well, I gave my name as a witness, and then went home to Greg.
What a rotten way to end your holiday, honey.
He grabbed my coat as he fell. Oh, Greg, maybe if I'd been a little faster, I could have saved him.
You didn't even see the guy until it was too late.
I don't suppose so. Anyway, a man on the other side of him tried to help, but he missed too.
You say this guy, the one who went under the truck, grabbed at you?
Uh-huh. I felt him tug at my coat.
Hmm. You're lucky he didn't pull you under with him.
Oh, I hadn't thought of that.
Well, now, let's all forget about it. We'll take ourselves downtown to the best restaurant we can find. We'll enjoy ourselves, and when we get back, it'll be over, huh?
All right.
That's a good. How fast can you change?
Quarter of an hour.
I'll time you. By the way, I'm sending you a couple of suits for dry cleaning. You got anything to go?
Oh, that coat on the chair, I guess, and this costume I'm wearing, too.
I'll call for a bellhop now. They'll be ready in the morning. Now hurry, I'm starving to death. You got any ideas where you want to go, girl?
Oh, not a one. I'd be just as happy walking down Broadway until we saw something we liked.
Okay, please yourself. Only if I pass out, send for a St. Bernard dog with some pliers. I'm hungry.
You won't go far. Oh!
I beg your pardon. I do beg your pardon. I'm afraid I wasn't looking.
Oh, it's quite all right. It was my fault, too.
But I walked right into you, and I'm no lightweight. I don't know what I could have been dreaming about so very careless.
Odd man.
I thought he was going to give you the Purple Heart. Yeah, come to look at him, he is a hefty guy.
Greg! I know him.
Yeah?
He was the one, Greg. The one I told you tried to pull the man back.
The guy who fell under the trip?
Yes. And that fat man tried to grab hold of him.
Well, that proves what I always said. New York's one of the smallest cities in the world. And this is your Broadway and it's my Broadway, but I wouldn't care if you gave it back to the Indians.
It certainly is crowded tonight. Oh, it's exciting, though. Below theater advertisements.
Take a look at that one up there. Marilyn Monroe with a 30-foot waist, et cetera.
Greg Collins, you just keep your eye... Oh!
I beg your pardon, miss. I'm sorry, very sorry.
What were you saying, honey?
Oh, Greg. Greg, it was him.
Who? What's the matter?
The man who was at the accident. The man at the hotel. He just bumped into me again.
Honey, I keep telling you, even if there are 10 million people here, it's not unusual to meet the same guy twice.
It's been 3 times, and I don't like it.
Well, 3 times, then. So what?
I guess I'm unreasonable. I've had a bad day.
Ah, look, there's a sign I know across the street.
The Steak Club. I know it, too.
You get a steak there so big that you stake the horns off and serve it to you.
It's just what I need. Let's cross over.
Wait for the traffic, Mrs. Collins.
Sorry I've been such a bore, Greg. Just as my day.
I like your day. My holiday she goes to pieces when we're working.
Greg!
Hey, what are you trying to do? Kill yourself?
Greg, I almost went under that car.
That's all right, honey. It's okay.
You want to be careful, young lady. Those cars are lethal.
Okay, Buster, just leave it alone. She... Say, what goes on here?
It's the same man again. It was the same man, all right. Fat and pink and smiling. But I could tell from the way Greg went tense. He was getting set to wipe that smile off. So keep your ears pinned, friends. We'll be back in a moment with more of our story. Four times I'd met this man, all in the space of a few hours. I was sure it was no coincidence. And I knew Greg didn't think so either.
You should take better care of the little lady, my friend. She almost fell in front of that car.
Well, there's one way to say it. Push might be another.
Now, that's hardly fair. It was me saved her. If I hadn't grabbed you, madam, well, imagine for yourself.
Suppose you come down out of the clouds and tell us what the game is.
Game? I don't catch you.
We run into you 3 times inside 45 minutes. The average is too high for coincidence.
Okay, so I call a cop and we can talk to him about it. You see, it all looks pretty hopeless, doesn't it, son?
And then he just drifted away in the crowd, and there was nothing Greg could do to stop him. Well, there was no point in going hungry because of Mr. X. Greg said he wouldn't talk about him until after we'd eaten. And we were both down to the last cubic inch of steak before he started.
Now, our girl, the first time you saw him was today at the accident?
That's right. I told you all about it.
You tell me again.
A man was killed by a truck, and Mr. X was there. In fact, a man was standing between us.
You sure?
Of course I'm sure. Poor guy who fell grabbed at my coat as he went. I swung around, and there was Mr. X. I could tell from the way he was standing, he tried to save the man. Or maybe he'd pushed.
What did Mr. X do after the accident?
He ran out to where the man was lying on the street.
Was he the first one there?
I think he was. Well, yes, he was. He seemed to think so quickly compared to the rest of... Greg.
What?
Here. Oh, no, don't turn around. He just walked into the restaurant.
Oh, honey, look, forget him for a moment. Pretend he's not here.
How can I?
I want to know what Mr. X did right after the accident, when he ran out into the street.
He ran his hands over the man's body. He felt his pulse, and then he put his hand inside his coat and felt his heart.
Now, answer me this. Could he have been searching the man's clothing?
He could have, but... Well, yes, he could have.
Okay, fine. Now, let's get out of here.
Where are we going?
You're going back to the hotel. I'm going to handle Mr. X my own way. And there's a car waiting right at the door.
Hi, Detective.
Greg, I don't want to go. I want to come with you.
Now, be a good girl and let's not fight.
Pull this cap up.
I want you to take this lady to the Ambassador Hotel.
But where are you going?
I'm going to wander around New York.
Oh, Greg Collins,
Mr. X can't follow both of us, right?
I guess not, but...
So I'm going to give him the chance to follow me. And when I've given him enough rope to hang himself, I'm going to pull the nut. Now, will you get in the cab, honey? He's coming.
Oh, Greg, phone me soon. And don't take any risks.
Risks? Me? If anyone says I take risks, it's a free, Mrs. Connell.
So Greg started to walk Broadway, that great white way they write songs about. And always, a couple of steps behind him was Mr. X. He'd given up any pretense of disguising the fact that he was following Greg. The question was, what was he after? Greg figured he'd find out in Mr. X's own good time. So he walked up and down for hours, waiting for Mr. X to tell him what was on his mind. Then, about 11 o'clock, he decided to call me as he'd promised.
Ambassador Hotel here. Good evening.
It's Greg Collins here. Would you put me through to Mrs. Collins, please? Room 1612.
One moment, please.
Mr. X. Who does that guy think he is following me around? My conscience?
Hello? Who's this speaking, please?
I want room 1612. This is Collins here.
This is room 1612. Who do you want to speak to, Mr. Collins?
I want to talk to my wife. Who else?
Your wife? Well, there must be some mistake, Mr. Collins. Your wife isn't here. She hasn't been here all evening.
That was when Greg went haywire. He slammed the receiver down and dived out of the telephone booth, ready to shake Mr. X until his teeth rattled. Only there was no Mr. X. He'd gone. With no Mr. X to shake, Greg was really in a spot. He put me in a cab and sent me back to the hotel, and I hadn't arrived. So, what to do? His first idea was to call the police. His second idea was to hold off, wait until Mr. X played a card. So, he went back to our hotel room to wait. But he didn't have to, because when he opened the door and stepped on the light, there was Mr. X.
So, you finally got here, Collins. I wondered when you would.
You're the guy I've been looking for. Where's my wife?
Keep your temper, Collins. If you feel like getting rough, remember I'm armed. See?
Now listen, fat face.
And let's not waste time being pleasant. I'll set your mind at rest right now, Collins. Your wife's safe.
Where is she?
That kind of information I sell.
Sell? The only information I can afford to buy is written on a bus ticket. The bit that says not transferred.
I don't want money. I want to know who you're working for.
I don't work for anyone. I'm self-employed.
It'll pay you not to try to evade my questions.
Now, who are you? What's the idea of following me and my wife around all night?
I felt it necessary to impress on you that your actions were not unobserved. That you're not dealing with fools. Also, since I can now tell you that cab you hired was driven by one of my men, you'll understand that we're very well organized. So now, let us proceed to business.
Okay, pal.
Whatever price you've been offered, I'm prepared to pay double.
Price for what? Who cares anyhow? Anything I've got you can have for double.
Let's be frank. I offer you double the price.
The thought of this is crazy. Just send my wife back. That's enough.
Of course, that's understood.
We had to get hold of her to make sure she'd passed my property on to you.
And she said she had.
You don't deny it?
Anything my wife says I've got, I've got.
In that case, give it to me now.
No. You're rushing the deal, buddy, Daddy. But it's a little matter of my wife. She has to be returned in good order and condition, like she was when you collected it.
I'm prepared to have her here in 2 hours, if you will undertake to return my property.
And what are you wasting time for? Get her here.
Very well. But remember, please, there is often a slip betwixt the cup and the lip. Don't try to double-cross me. Oh, by the way, have you examined my property?
No. What business is it of mine?
Excellent. Well, let me warn you not to do so. It would not be in the interests of Mrs. Collins. You see, I have her interest at heart, Collins. I hope you have, too. I'll be back in 2 hours, Mr. Collins. I hope you're waiting for me.
Now, look, the fact is I don't have any idea what you... Oh, for Pete's sake, what goes on? I haven't got that guy's property. Gale must have told him that to gain time. Maybe something was sent here to us.
A desk here, Mr. Collins.
Could you tell me, please, has a parcel or maybe a letter or anything like that arrived here for either me or Mrs. Collins?
No, sir. Nothing's come here for you.
I see. Okay, thanks. That's fine. Now what? He's back. Well, that settles it. I never knew a situation yet a thump in the ear didn't help. Now, see here, fat boy.
Mr. Collins?
Collins?
You ever seen this car before, Mr. Collins?
Let's see. The FBI.
That's right. Mind if I close the door?
Oh, boy, am I glad to see you guys.
Glad, Mr. Collins?
Yes, about my wife. She's missing.
Missing? How missing, Mr. Collins?
What do you mean, how? I'm not talking about her engine. I'm talking about her whole chassis. It's missing. Isn't that plain?
You reported this to the local police?
Oh. I haven't, not yet.
Explain to me if I'm wrong, but I find it rather interesting. I mean, the fact that your wife's missing just when I want to talk to her.
What's wrong?
I want to talk to her about a guy named Regan.
She doesn't know any Regan.
Funny. You left your room about 3 minutes ago.
His name was Regan?
And you didn't know it, huh? Now, that is strange. He had a pass key to your room.
Yeah, I know that, but he stole it.
You reported that to the police?
No, I haven't. Well, how can I report to the police when it...
Go on.
Nothing. What did you want to see Gail about?
She was witness to an accident today. She gave her name to the police.
That's right, yeah.
Well, he wanted to question her about the guy who was killed. Now, I've seen for myself how pally you and this Regan guy are. I'm interested.
Why? Is there some law against Regan?
The man who was killed today, pal, was an FBI man. He was carrying evidence, important evidence. But it wasn't on him after he was killed.
I see.
The evidence was interesting to a certain guy named Regan. Your pal.
You've got something on Regan?
Not without that evidence, Collins.
Are you sure your man had it?
I didn't come here to answer questions. What time do you expect Mrs. Collins back?
I don't expect her back until the morning.
How's that? Visiting her poor old mother?
I just don't expect her back, that's all.
Okay. I'll call on her tomorrow.
Hey, before you go...
Eh?
Were you the guy who answered the phone when I called earlier tonight?
That's right. Why?
I'm taking a survey. I want to know how many people are using my hotel room when I'm away.
Tomorrow, pal, or maybe even tonight. Just to check.
Tomorrow. Regan's coming here in 2 hours. He expects me to hand over that evidence. Tomorrow we could be dead and I can't say a word to the police.
So now Greg knew what Regan wanted from him. The evidence he was searching the FBI man for soon after he'd been run over by that truck. The evidence he believed I'd passed on to Greg. The evidence Greg had never laid eyes on. Oh, it was a Jim Dandy setup. And in a moment, we'll bring you the climax of the case. In 2 hours, Regan was coming back for the evidence he thought Greg had. The evidence I'd told him Greg had. Greg, of course, couldn't tell the police anything because Regan was holding me. And even though Greg was pretty sure I was only stalling for time, he started to search our room just in case. An hour and a half later, it looked like a high wind had passed through, but no evidence, which was when you started to pace the floor.
Regan must be sure she has that evidence. That's crazy. She... Just forget about whether it's crazy or not. Why does Regan think so? Gail never laid eyes on him before, so why does he think he's got the evidence? It doesn't make sense. Let's start again. There's the FBI man. He's walking along the street behind Gail. She stops. He stops. Regan stops. And then... That's it. That's the only way it could have happened.
Now, Greg had a beanie bonnet, and 2 minutes later, he was down at the reception desk of the hotel, trying to get some sense out of the sleepy desk clerk.
My name's Collins. I'm in room 1612.
Well, yes, Mr. Collins, I know you.
Earlier this evening, sometime before dinner, I sent a pint of clothes down to be dry cleaned.
Yes, sir.
I want them back. I want them back now.
Oh, I'm sure they haven't been done yet, sir. The dry cleaning staff went home.
I don't care when the dry cleaning staff went home. I want my clothes.
Oh, are you checking out or something?
I'm not checking out or anything. I want my clothes now.
But the dry cleaning room is all locked up.
Then open it.
Oh, well, sir, I don't know that we can exactly do that. After all, if all our guests came down in the middle of the night wanting to get into the dry cleaning room, where would we be?
And you'd probably lock them in and rent their rooms to someone else.
I can see that you're a man with a sense. Why, what are you doing with that ruler?
I'm going to measure your head with...
Oh, don't. Put it down. That's ebony.
Do I get that room opened? Or do you get this on the head, bud? I'm in a hurry.
The dry cleaning room, sir. Just come this way, sir. We'll have it opened immediately. I really shouldn't be away from my desk. What if someone comes in?
I suppose they steal the hotel. Who cares? It'll be no use to them unless they got it across the border.
This is the room, and please hurry. Now, the clothes to be cleaned are all thrown on a table in the middle of the room. I'll turn the light on for you.
There they are. That pile on top. They're what I'm looking for.
Well, if you'll just kindly bundle them up and get out of here.
Don't worry, I'm not taking them with me. I just want something from one of the pockets.
If it's something valuable, sir, it would have been returned to you in the morning.
In the morning? Buster, that would have been too late. By morning, you'd have had two corpses on your hands.
Corpses?
As in delicti. Okay. I've got what I came for. Let's get out of here.
Another 2 minutes and Greg was in his room again. His watch said he had 10 minutes to wait. But Regan was already there with a so-called cab driver and me.
So you're back, Mr. Collins. For one moment, I thought you'd run out on us.
Oh, Greg, I've been so frightened.
Just stay on this side of the room, Mrs. Collins.
Oh, no.
You keep away from her, you great mutt.
Just as soon as our business is completed, I'll be happy to get out of your lives forever. Until then, Mrs. Collins stays where she is.
So you're still toting that gun, huh?
A small precaution.
Greg, explain to him we have the faintest idea.
Hold it, Gail.
Mr. Whatever your name is, we just don't know what it is I'm supposed to have stolen.
That's it. Mr. Regan, don't listen to her. She doesn't know what she's talking about.
You know my name.
Sure, I know your name. And I think I've got what you want.
Hand it over.
Take it. One spool of film.
Film? Where did that come from?
From you, honey, from you.
Huh?
You're a good actress, Mrs. Collins. Luckily, your husband realizes I'm not a man to be trifled with. Well, thank you for this film, Collins. It means a lot to me. You may now take delivery of your wife.
Greg, where are...
Save it, honey.
We're on our way, Collins. Trust we don't meet again. Oh, by the way, do you know what's on this spool of film? I'll tell you. Evidence that would send me up the river for a long, long time. They give you a lot of years for tax fraud in this country.
So where does the spool of film come in?
It's a microfilm of the records of my nightclub business. The records the tax department doesn't see.
In that case, maybe I better take it, Regan.
What?
Greg, it's the police!
Watch him, he's got a gun!
That's all there was in it. One shot and one scream. Mr. Regan's shooting hand gave him trouble for a couple of months where the bullet hit him. Otherwise, no one was hurt. The FBI men took possession of Regan, the spool of film, and the thorny cab driver. And after the shouting and the fuss from the desk clerk had quietened down, there was Greg, grinning like an alligator.
So what do you say about your husband now, huh? Is he bright enough?
Greg Collins, I'm so mad I could spit chips. You had what Regan was looking for all the time.
Huh?
You must have. That spool of film, you must have had it.
Darling, you had it. I never laid eyes on it until about 2 minutes before I saw you in here with Regan.
Oh, don't talk nonsense. I'd never seen that film until...
I knew you hadn't seen it, but you had it. Look, remember what you said about the FBI man, the one who went under the truck?
What did I say about him?
You said he grabbed at your coat as he fell.
Well, he did.
He didn't grab at it. He had his hand in your pocket.
What?
He knew Regan was tailing him. He had to get rid of that film somehow. The way I figure it, he was working undercover. The time wasn't right to reveal his identity, so he got rid of the film. Honey, I must have been right. The spool of film was in the pocket of that coat you sent for dry cleaning.
But how... how did you figure that out?
Simple enough. I asked myself why Regan should pick on you as the one who had the film. He must have had some reason. The reason was you were standing next to the FBI man. He wouldn't just throw the film away. He must have passed it on. That made you the only logical contender.
I just don't know what to say. If you hadn't worked things out the way you did... Oh, Greg.
Oh, come here. Well, what do you think this thing is on my shoulder?
Oh, it's the face again.
It's a head. And inside that head... Well, it ain't sawdust, you know. It's a brain, Mrs. Collins.
Don't go away. In just a moment, we'll be back with you.
Adventure, the last film. Be sure to visit us next time for another Puzzle in Murder. For whether it's crime and romance, there you'll find Mr.
and Mrs. Collins.
That's Case Closed for this week. You can find more from the shows you heard today at RelicRadio.com alongside past episodes of Case Closed, all the other Relic Radio shows, thousands of them, our Shoutcast stream, and our donate button. If you'd like to help support this and all of the shows, it's how it keeps coming to you every week. My thanks, as always, to those who have helped out, and thanks for joining me today. I'll be back next Wednesday with the casebook of Gregory Hood and Let George Do It on another episode of Case Closed.